My next guest has just released his second album under Rhymesayers called Pookie Baby, a 15-track album that really showcases his ability as an MC and a singer. He's Prof, and I want to welcome Pookie him baby. To the library with Tim Einekel. Welcome.
What's up, man? Thank you for having me.
I kill him. It's me.
So your bio reads this: after spending the early part of the 2010s having amassed a strong, loyal following, distributing nearly 200,000 records through your own imprint, Stop House, you signed with Rhymesayers in 2013. What is, I hear that, I see that, I read that number 200,000 as someone independently doing that, and I imagine that's a huge number, but for you, what did you want to get out of signing with a label? I mean, Rhymesayers in particular.
I don't know. Fame, fortune, money, girls, jets, hot tubs. I don't know. I guess expand. I mean, in general, have more people hear my shit. And just to see what a more, quote, professional, you know, what another label would be, and just to understand the business a little bit better.
Was any ever worry that they would? I mean, I'm that you create creativity would be looked more harshly at, or you know, even like it would limit your creativity, or was that never a worry for you?
Oh, absolutely, that's a huge worry. That was my number one worry. You know, I was more of a wild man. You know, like I didn't think I was going to fit in Rhymesayers, and I already thought I already had my. You know, I was doing big numbers. Selling out a venue in Minneapolis with 4,000 people before right. I signed to Rhymesayers. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I was going into these meetings like, I'll attend just to see what they have to say, or, you know, and then just me and Sadiq started vibing on just what I wanted in general, and was really kind of on the same page. And I made sure that going in, I would have full creative control over everything I did. And mm-hmm. I make sure that anywhere I go in the future and any circumstance that I'm ever in, I want to be able to do exactly what I want creatively.
Right. Cool. As mentioned in the intro, you have this dope ability to not just rap, but also sing. Regarding content and writing wise, what kind of calls for a song were you sing, such as in your first album, Liability Far Out, versus a track that calls for spitting, such as in the same album, Bar Breaker?
Yeah, I guess it's just a feeling, you know what I mean? I think there isn't a real science to it, but I'm sure if people listen to each instrumental, they'd be able to understand why I rapped on one and why I sang on the other, you know what I mean? Far Out is just, I don't know, sometimes it just calls for singing. It's more mellow groove, and Bar Breaker, man, I don't, you know, I wouldn't even know how to sing over that. It's so aggressive and ferocious.
Right.
It calls for rap.
Has there ever been a time in your career where you went in writing something for a song to sing, but then it turned out to be something you should spit?
No. I usually just make the decision like, okay, I'm singing on this one or I'm rapping on this one. And it usually stays that way. I don't think I've ever changed it halfway through. You know, I sing a lot of choruses, rap a lot of verses.
Right.
That's very common. I got a million songs like that. But as far as total sing songs, usually stay there.
Mm-hmm. Let's move to the latest album, Pookie Baby. You rhyme on this album, of course, as well, but I heard it wrong, but I feel compared to Liability in this album, you're singing a little bit more. Did you feel that going in, or do you feel that with this album? Did you want to showcase kind of your singing talents more on this album?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to come up with a creative, you know, genius way to say why I'm evolving into singing or whatever. But honestly, I'm just starting to like it a little bit more, and I'm getting better at it. And, you know, my voice is evolving, and, that's about it really. And I think I'm probably singing more on Pookie Baby than on, Liability.
Right. The first two tracks of the album are Pookie Baby, the title track, and then the second track is Andre the Giant. And I was curious, after watching the video to Andre the Giant, I was curious how they kind of both relate to each other. Just because the way that the Andre the Giant video starts out, it starts out with the end of Pookie Baby. And then it has you waking up to kind of like, you maybe shook a little bit or not, or maybe a bad dream. I wasn't sure. What are you telling the listener the relationship between Andre the Giant is to Pookie Baby?
I just tied him in. It was a way to, you know, how I wake up, like, it kind of in the beginning of Andre, you know, as it being some sort of a dream or something like that. And also when on that, it's basically a teaser. So when they hear Andre, they're like, what the fuck was that first song? And, you know, that's the actual title track of the record. So, it, you know, it just increases overall cohesiveness and makes people, you know, more want to wonder what's going on. Somehow get in there and navigate through the record.
Is there does Andre the Giant, is there some sort of significance to call it Andre the Giant for you?
No, man, not really. It was just the chorus. I'm saying, I was like, all right, I finished the song. I'm like, what should this song be called? They said, I'm getting bigger, huh? I'm like, well, what's a cool, you know, what's an example of that? Andre the Giant sure fucking got bigger. So, you know, that's just about it. A lot of people were like, oh, he's just trying to jump on his wave on the HBO shit. And I got some flack from some Andre the Giant fans.
Oh, really?
Super stupid. Yeah, and I'm like, I finished this song like a year and a half ago, really. So I don't know.
On the track Lightwork, for me, it's kind of a great example of your lyrical game and your flow, because it's straight fire and straight spitting. I was curious, do you have a favorite verse on that track?
From off the top of my head right now, I don't even know how the track goes. I don't have a favorite verse off that track, no.
The track Be Around is another, well, kind of example of your vocal range for you and Ashley. Is this kind of based on a true story for you, or is it just something that came to you?
Yeah, I mean, everything I kind of rap about is somehow based loosely off of something I perceive, you know what I mean? So, but this one is when you're just in a good relationship, and it's basically like, it's a relationship when, even if you fight, that you know you're going to be fine the next day.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you just feel stable. You know what I mean? And some relationships I've been in, you fight and it's like, well, man, this probably won't work. Or, you know, some relationships you're like, well, we're going to work this out. You know what I mean? And Be Around is about a relationship where, you know, you're just going to fucking work it out. You know what I mean?
The track prior to it, Send News, is also somewhat about a relationship as well. But what I think is kind of interesting about the track is that about 3 minutes into the track, you totally change it up musically, with the music and also with your vocals. What was the reason behind that?
Wait, what track are you talking about?
Send Nudes.
Oh, yeah. Send Nudes was actually made in like two parts. So there's a I was juggling two different beats that I really liked at the same time.
Oh.
And then I figured out that one was just really similar BPM to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So then matched them both in BPMs and sorry, I'm getting in the tour van right now. And I just love songs that switch up, man. I'm all about dynamics and everything like that. So when I figured out we had two beats here, which is actually three sort of beats, you know,
right,
it changes up three times dramatically in that song. And I don't know, I like it. I don't like the same shit all the time. Sooner or later I'll come. Can't live my life on the go. It's gonna be real when I come home. It's gonna be real when I come home. It's gonna be real when I come home. It's gonna be real when I come. It's gonna be real when I come. It's gonna be real when I come home.
What was your main, what made you take on kind of the authenticity of artists on the track I've Cooked Crack Before? What has the response been to that track, and from not just from your fans but from fellow artists?
You know, getting bigger in the scene and doing festivals and meeting other rappers that are in the game and like hearing things firsthand about other rappers and shit, it's just really it's a lot of them are just really putting on a business front, like this they're very, very opposite of who they say they are. And, you know, everybody's on the radio right now talking about how they're cooking crack. You know, I just doubt a lot of them are. So that's kind of what the song is about. And I don't know how it got super cool to, you know, I don't know. A lot of that shit, opioid use and drug users and all this kind of shit, this whole culture, I'm like, it's just basically a commentary about all that.
What did you feel your, I guess, your role or your responsibility should be as an artist?
You know, going into it, I didn't give a fuck.
Right.
And I'm still kind of don't give a fuck, but I see people, the bigger I get, the more people are affected by what I say. And I want to be able to say what I want whenever I want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I still do, but now when I say these things, there's a little bit more weight behind some sentences or some lines here and there. I know some lines will completely affect people, you know? Like, I used to clown around on Twitter all the time, and I made a joke about, like, I have mesothelioma or something like that, right. Like a commercial, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then someone with, you know, with the homies or anybody you know, no one has it, everything's just, everybody's just funny about it. But right. Then when I have 30,000, 50,000 people follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you know, someone goes, oh man, someone replied, you know, my dad died of that. I'm so sorry you have that or something like that. And I was like, oh shit.
Right.
You know, I can't be just loosely just spitting out of my gums like, you know, I would to my friends.
Right.
And I want people to know me that close and to understand my humor like that.
Right.
So I try to make it as loose-lipped as possible and my art as loose-lipped as possible. But I know some people will be affected by it in bad ways.
Well, I imagine it's also this, it's a tough balance, right? Because people, you have fans and people like you because of that part of your humor, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, two tracks that are like the polar opposite tracks, but they're the last two tracks on the album have been Minneapolis and Eulogy. You know, Minneapolis embraces not just where you're from, but also embraces and celebrates life.
It's been hot all summer. What a sight to see. I am you, you are me. So can it be happy? We got a right to be. This city really got a hold of me. I've had love. I've lost love. I feel strong. When I start looking around, that's my city.
And then Eulogy kind of confronts death.
Ain't some misery the sweetest thing. I surrender, it's all the same. I thought I had control, ain't that a shame? Would you look at the time, it's all we have.
Why have those tracks back to back, and then why leave us with Eulogy as the last track?
I don't think those yeah, you're right. Those tracks are opposite. One's about life, one's about death. But isn't that the same shit?
Right.
Everybody does. It's the same thing. So, you know, hit them back to back with it, and then Eulogy as a closer is just, I think, just perfect for a record. And it's one of my favorite songs I've ever made. And Eulogy, that's. Just even the definition of the word just sums it up perfectly for the end of the record for me. And it just felt super good going out.
One thing I noticed, and I think it's like, I don't know if maybe I missed it, but I know you did on Liability, but I feel like on Pookie Baby, you didn't do that. If I feel like you, on Pookie Baby, you never referred to your name, Prof. Is that correct? On the entire album, and it's just little, like, I noticed on Liability that there was references to yourself, but then I feel like on Pookie Baby, I did not hear that, and I don't know if that was maybe I missed it or maybe it was a conscious decision on your part.
Damn, that's interesting. I wonder if that's true. I don't know. It wasn't unconscious for sure. I think I just wasn't really concerned about that. I was just talking about other shit, really. I don't know.
You mentioned Eulogy being one of your favorite tracks. Is there a kind of a track or a couple of tracks on this album, Pookie Baby, that kind of sums up what you were trying to do or your goal with this album?
I mean, they're all so different, right?
Yeah.
So not one can sum all of it up. It's the record that sums it up in itself, you know? I'm really happy about songs like Eulogy but then I'm really happy, you know, about songs like Action, you know right. what I mean? That's just fucking crazy. So, you know, just everything as a whole is just, I think the record is just so dynamic and contradictive. I think it's just a perfect representation of where I'm at right now.
The new album is Spooky Baby. The artist, writer, rapper, singer, all-around talented human being is Prof. Prof, thank you so much for joining me in the library with Tim Einico.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, man. Good interview. I duck the pigs, that's how I live. I'm a big bad man, and I'm starving. Give me some action. You know I can't be stopped. You know I can't be stopped. You know I can't be stopped. I'm aggressive, I'm an animal, I take what I want. I'm a dodgy looking bloke, I'm dangerous, go find out. Unpredictable, I take the safety off of my gun. Like, no safety net, let's see how close I fly to the sun. Ooh-wee. Say I'm impolite, then I'm so quick to fight trick. Sue me. Say one of these days it'll catch up to me trick. Police. If you're so scared, go to church or maybe call the police. Tough as bricks, you can test my grit. I'm a big bad man. Watch your step, I can take your chick. I'm a big bad man. I duck the pigs, that's how I live. I'm a big bad man, and I'm starving. Give me some action. You know I can't be stopped. You know I can't be stopped. You know I can't be stopped. Already know when I step through the door that I came with a crew with me. Already know that the lames over there probably ain't in the cool with me. Already know that a fight in the back got ain't nothing to do with me.
Let's figure this out.
How close can I fly to the sun?
Got up out of bed and started thinking to myself, I'm about to grab an alligator, gonna kill the little bugger, make a jacket out the leather, then I'll meet up with your mother, then I'll love her like in jail. Love her like a jail over Chippendale. Pale ale, sip it now, grip it down, rip it down, Riverdale. Unstoppable object, announcing a bomb threat, broadcasting live from the projects.
Yeah! Tough as bricks, you can test my grit, I'm a big bad man. Watch your step, I can take your chick, I'm a big bad man. I duck the pigs, that's how I live, I'm a big bad man. And I'm starving.
Give me some action.
You know I can't be stopped. You know I can't be stopped. You know I can't be stopped.
Kill. I got no chill. Yeah. I'm supposed to keep it real. Kill. Boy. I got no chill. I'm supposed to keep it real. Kill. I got no chill. I'm supposed to keep it real. I got no chill. Still looking for a right thrill.
Get your fuck, boy. 99 on the wall. Knock 'em down. Fuck 'em all. 98 on the wall. Knock 'em down. Always up. 96. 95. 94. 3. 2.